I see we have a good crowd today, and the reason is the last week I told Brother Streeter, when he asked me to teach, I said, don't announce it, and people will show up. Amen. So he didn't, and now we have a full class, and I'm really thankful for that. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Once again, I don't know how to get started, so I guess what we'll do, we'll start with the offering. We'll pray and ask the Lord to be amongst us here, all right? Brother Ryder, wait on us. Pastor, oh, he's out of here. Okay. Brother Streeter, would you pray over class this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody got a handout of the song we're probably going to play. We'll see how the Lord leads. Do want to have that in your hands, because you know sometimes when you hear a song you're not real familiar with, the words escape you. So I want you to have those there in front of you before you hear the song. Then Brother Patrick has another handout, and it's kind of lengthy. So one per family this morning, please. If there's extras, we'll put them back there and you can take them home. I'll print up some more for next week. There, I let the cat out of the bag, didn't I? I'm going to be teaching next week too, so show up. Sister Susie, she's right on cue there. I told her this morning, I said, I'm really nervous this morning. I want you to say lots of amens. And just in case you don't understand why I'd be nervous, we have Brother Martin is here, okay? And during the week, our pastor told us that he heard a story about him that likened him to the Apostle Paul. Now listen. You may not ever have had the chance to stand before the Apostle Paul and teach, but I'm doing it today. Amen. I love this man. When Bethany got the bottle rocket in her eye, when we were in Montana, Brother Martin was the first preacher to come by. We were out there still. And the Lord directed our paths. He was there, came by, and was the first other man of God, other than Brother Metzger and myself, to pray for my daughter. He's prayed for her several times. We're still believing God for that healing. Amen. But I really have a lot of respect for the man and that. So I did get chastised in front of the mirror this morning as I told the Lord that, you know, Lord, how am I going to teach in front of the Apostle Paul, you know? And the Lord spoke to me. He says, you've never been worried about somebody else that would show up every single time you teach who is greater than the Apostle Paul. But I have been nervous before when I've taught Brother Martin, until the Holy Ghost comes by. Once he comes by, it's all over. The nervousness is gone. Amen. All right, so do you have your... Now, when I have money hanging over the podium like that, what does that usually mean? No, somebody's going to have some extra bucks in their pocket when they leave, right? Okay. So that's going to happen this morning. Somebody, some fortunate soul is going to walk out of here. And hey, this is a $20 bill. Okay, so it's no chump change. Well, let's read our scriptures first. We prayed, and I'm not trying to make this a funny show or anything like that, a comedy hour, but I do want to do something here that's going to be really, really pertinent to what we're studying. The Lord is worthy. Amen. So if you have your handout, the second handout that you have, it's got the scriptures there on the front of it. You can go to your Bible, follow along here as I read, whatever. But let's get started. Here we are. He is worthy. Philippians 3:10, and just the first part of that scripture says, that I may know him. We go on into Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts which had of them 6 wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and let me back up. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take, Revelation 5, 9 through 14. It says, And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. Now, I have this $20 bill, and I'm going to ask Brother Martin, since he came to preach, I'm sure it's been a while since he told a lie, because he didn't. Does that look like a real $20 bill? He's going to verify this.
I believe it does.
Got the thing in there. Yeah. Amen. So, this is not a counterfeit, okay? It's a real job. Now, all that somebody has to do is, when I count to 3, stand up, be the first one, because I've only got one of these. Be the first one to stand up and start to cluck like a chicken. You got to wait till I count to 3, okay? Now, you got to do the arm motions and everything. Buck, 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 buck. The whole line, you got to do that. The first one, when I count to 3. I'm trying to give you a little time to prepare yourself to do this, okay? It's a $20 bill. You get a $20 bill for doing this. Okay? Look, what I was going to do is I was going to have people run up to the front, lay it on the podium or something, and have people come up and get it. And all I could picture was This is the adult Sunday school class, and there are some folks that have walkers and canes, and I was thinking, man, I'm going to cause a wreck in Sunday school, and it's not going to be pretty. So as I thought more about it, this is much safer, okay? Who's ready? Everybody ready? Come on now, it's a $20 bill. One. You can't do it if you're laughing. She's going to be the first, I'm telling you. Two, the first one. Three. All right, Patrick. He was ready. He was right on the edge of his seat, ready to do it. Now, that may seem foolish to you. That may be a little too comical for some. But to be honest with you, it perfectly proves my point that I want to drive home today is what we put value in or what we think is worthy. Amen. What something that has worth. Amen. Now look, I'm not preaching about the counterfeit today, okay? I'm not teaching about the counterfeit. I'm not doing that, but somebody could do that. About Patrick, what would have happened had that been completely 100% counterfeit? He still would have stood, made a fool of himself, clucking like a chicken, and he would have gotten something that was completely worthless. Now that's something to think about. He would have had probably the right thought about worth in what he was thinking about or on that $20 bill, but it would do him no good because it was false. It was counterfeit. Now, somebody can take off and go that way if they want to. That's not the point of the class. I was thinking about this too, but what if I was self-deceived? What if I knew it was a counterfeit, but I wanted it anyway? Well, that's pretty dangerous territory to be in. And Jesus warned lots and lots and lots of times, take heed to yourself. Don't be deceived. Over and over again through the Gospels you can read that don't be deceived. Take it into the spiritual realm and Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light and can deceive you to thinking that that thing that you think is worthy is really just a counterfeit. Okay, so where I'm off that. Now, value is only part of the equation. Now, when we say value, a lot of times what we think is strictly monetary value. When we think of something of having worth, we think of the cost of it, if you will. A diamond is very expensive, therefore it should be worth a lot. To me, it means absolutely not. I don't care about a diamond. Some women, they like to have the big diamond ring on their hand. I'm not saying anything about that. What I'm saying is worth is assessed by those that hold the item in value, or if they're worthy, if it's worthy. Now, a $5 bill means nothing to me unless I know that at Starbucks I can get an extra hot venti white mocha cappuccino for $4.50. Yeah, that's what I like over there, extra hot. I like them. A $5 bill has no value unless I have something to ascribe it to. Okay. Now, I could care less about a really good fly rod. Oh, now I got the look from my pastor. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with assessing value to a fly rod, but I'm just saying for me, and value then, or worth, is a relative thing. To him, the best fly rod in the world is worth the money that they put on it. Amen. Guitar, same thing. I have no knowledge about what the worth or the brand of a guitar. But you talk to Pastor or Brother Don or Brother Streeter and all those. They know the brands. They know the type and all those kind of things that have a lot of value. They probably even know about some of the historical things about guitars. You know for a violin, like Stradivarius or something, there's some form of guitar probably like that too. And they would know that. And they would assess great worth to those things. Now, I know I'm taking a long time to build this, but I want you to understand that worth, value is more than monetary cost. Value is what we assess to a thing. And in assessing that value, it's relative in these earthly things, if you will, to us and our needs, our desires, our personalities. Assessing worth to some of the things that we involve ourselves in is completely different one to another. I would like nothing more than on opening day of deer season to be in the woods with a gun that shoots 1-inch groups at 100 yards and have a nice 10-point buck just walk right by. I'd like nothing better than that. I mean, I'm talking about earthly things. Some people, that means absolutely nothing to, and that's fine. I'm not saying that you need to like what I like in that area. But value is more than monetary cost. Our worth of things is assessed by the value we put on them. Brother Patrick put a lot of value on that $20 bill, where he was willing to stand up, cluck like a chicken, to get it. Had he not known that it had some value, had some worth, he would have never done that. What would have happened if it would have said Monopoly money? He'd have not done it because it had no worth. I don't know, maybe he likes playing Monopoly. But he's not playing Monopoly this morning, and it would do him no good to have that Monopoly money. After church, he's going to take me and the wife out to supper, to dinner. Wait, no. It has value to him. And it had value to where he stood and did something a little foolish to get it, because it had value. Now, right on that note, it says that it has value. You can read it and say that it has value, because on it says, well, for the time being, I guess I should say that, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. That piece of money has that written on it. Now, I hope I didn't lose you in all those illustrations or points about the illustration. I hope I didn't leave you or lose you in that. But when I think about something that is supposed to have worth to each and every one of us, that in heaven, as we read this morning from the scriptures, in heaven, that's what they say when they worship God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. The proper value, if you will, has been assessed to what the Son of God has accomplished, and they say, worthy is the Lamb. I'm going to play a song. It's by the Gaither Vocal Band. That's the song I handed out. It's not rocky, but it does get kind of loud toward the end. So it's a professional recording. I'm not validating them or anything like that, but it goes hand in hand with what I'm trying to teach this morning. Brother Streeter, are you ready? He's got to work with Apple equipment. So listen. Listen to this song. Thank you. worthy. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. You alone are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy the Lamb. Hallelujah. After this chorus, you can shut it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In heaven this morning, they're saying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Because the proper value can be known by those folks that are there. They don't have to look through a glass darkly anymore, Brother Martin. They're there before the Son of God and see just how worthy He is. Amen. Now, I got to thinking about this worth and assessing value to an object here on earth. You pay taxes on your property here by the assessed value. The assessed value is you had an assessor come and they looked at your property and they said, your property is worth this much. And when you do the math, you pay this much in taxes. But that house may be so much more valuable to you, knowing that in it, you and your family suffered the trials of life together. You saw the births, the deaths. You rejoice together there. You worship God with your children there, with your family there. And to you, I wouldn't take $1 million for it just because of the memories, because of the knowledge I have of what transpired there. And that's how it's supposed to be when we assess worth to the Son of God. Amen. I have so much memory, so many memories, so much stored up here in my knowledge about who He is and who He is to me that I assess the proper worth to Him. Amen. I'm not nervous now. Praise God. I assess the proper worth to Him. Because I know Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes the things we do. And I have been guilty of this. When I don't have the right assessment of that value, of His worth, they don't cease to say about it, talk about it in heaven. And we forget about it way too often here on earth. He's worthy. And the way that I can know here to assess the proper worth to Him is by learning and knowing and experiencing more and more about Him here. I'm not on the other side yet. I'm not part of those 24 elders yet. I'm not up there saying, worthy, worthy, worthy. I'm not up there seeing the beast say, holy, holy, holy. I'm not there yet. But in my heart, in my life now, to have Him revealed to me, I can assess the proper value, the right worth. I can say too here, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Now the only way to do that is to talk about the doctrine of God. We couldn't know anything about Him if He had not revealed it to us about Him. I've got a book. Bethany is at OBI. You all know that. And I hope you're praying for her. She's doing really good. That's an update. But, I mean, I don't even think she has time to miss me, really. With Deborah and the baby and Celeste and just everybody taking up for her, I'm thinking, man, you don't even miss your old man. But one of the books that they use down there as a study course and is this book here by Meyer Perlman. It's called Knowing the Doctrines of the Bible. And several weeks ago, I had no knowledge that I was going to teach, and I was reading through this because we're supposed to continually learn, correct? Well, I wanted to know what she was being taught, but then also I was trying to deepen myself and learn more. And the more that I got into this, the better and better it was getting. Now, I'm not going to teach strictly what His outlines are. That's not it at all. I believe in praying through your own stuff. You can take it and use it and learn from it. But when I got into what He had to say about the doctrine of God, I looked at my own life and said, you have not had the proper value assessed on Him and who He is. And then I got to thinking about the church, and you know, there's lots of times when I'm not the only one in this boat. And there's too many times that we live like we do, suffer the things that we suffer, because we have not assessed the proper worth to who He is. Amen. Now, like I said, I'm not going to be teaching strictly from His book, but His book did encourage me in some of the things I was learning through that. It's a relatively inexpensive book. It's available through Gospel Publishing House. If you need the ISBN number, I would encourage you to get it. It is a wonderful, easy to read, lots of scriptures. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I think 11 or 12 bucks, something like that. For the paperback version. I encourage you to get it. But knowing about God is different than knowing the right things about God. And knowing the right things about God is paramount so that we don't accept a counterfeit. So we have this saying, Perlman put it like this. He said, doctrine will always be necessary as long as men ask, where did I come from? What am I? And whither am I going? Around here, we use another saying about doctrine, and it's found in 2 Timothy 3:16. What's that scripture? Somebody look it up quick. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Then I have a limerick that goes along with it that a preacher taught me once. Pastor, have you got it? Somebody else got it. Brother Martin, would you read it, sir? Brother Martin, go ahead. Profitable. It has value. There is worth to learning doctrine. Now, it's a sad note, and I got to thinking about this morning, but this limerick that I have for this, that I use over and over and over again for about this scripture, I got from a preacher that preached in here in this sanctuary that is no longer, or last I heard, is no longer living for the Lord. If he'd have just paid attention to his own limerick, which was about the scriptures, he'd probably still be saved today. How many of you can say any part of it? Doctrine tells us what is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And doctrine tells us what is right. Reproof tells us what? What is not right. Correction tells us how to get right. And instruction in righteousness tells us how to stay right. This morning, what I want to talk about is the entering in of this doctrine of God, something that tells us what is right when we study who God is. Amen. It is imperative. If you are messed up in your beliefs about God, every avenue of your life is going to be messed up. At the end of your life, when you're expecting to make heaven your home, it's not going to be so. It's important to know the right things about who God is. We must have the proper concept. And one reason is because we're here for a purpose. The purpose is to win others to Him. If we have a faulty understanding of who He is and portray that to others, that is wrong. It's damning to those people's soul, or can be. We have to know who He is, what He is, what He's provided, so that we can live correctly and show others that they may know Him too. Amen. Now, unless He would reveal to us, because His ways are so much higher than our ways, the Bible says in Isaiah, and His thoughts above our thoughts, unless He would reveal Himself to us, we could never, ever know Him. Now let me ask you this question then. If there is a God, and there is, and He wants to reveal Himself to people, and He does, how do you think that He went about that task? How do you think He went about providing for that desire that you might know Him, might understand things about Him? It's because He put it in here. And everything that you need to know about who He is and what He is and what He's provided for your life, for my life, it's found in the Word of God. Proper doctrine, precept upon precept, line upon line, it's all in there. And only by studying this book and getting proper doctrine from it will we ever know who He is. It's imperative. When it goes against our grain, you mean? Yeah, even then. When it aggravates the fire out of me to have to do that? Yep, even then. I need to know who He is correctly. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." We can know Him by learning who He is through the Scripture. Then also there is the Holy Ghost, who will teach us in depth more about who He is and what He is, and build communion. But still, if He doesn't do that to us, we're going to be short-changed, if you will, in our knowledge and our understanding of Him and who He is. Now, His people can know Him, and all through time, His people have known Him. Now, I didn't excel scholastically, so when I read a scripture like this in Isaiah chapter 35, I can take great confidence in the fact that in this thing, knowing God and understanding God, I can know Him exactly like He wants me to know Him. It says this in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. It says, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Now, somebody that's scholastically challenged, how's that for politically correct? Scholastically challenged, as I am, I can take great confidence in the fact that I can, even with my hindrances in the natural, I can read through His Word. The highway of holiness is in there, and even me, who has limited scholastic ability, I can know Him and not err therein if I'll just simply trust Him. If I can't read, then I need to get it on tape or on CD, something, and listen to it. So you can get the Word of God in you. So you can know Him, and by knowing Him, what? Assess the proper value of who He is. Ascribe the right amount of worthiness to who He is. Amen. Because whether you ascribe it or not, it really doesn't matter. It only helps you when you ascribe it, you and I, when we ascribe it correctly. He's going to be unchangeable. He's always going to be worthy, whether you accept it or I accept it or not. Always. Now, I got to thinking about this. Brother Patrick stood and kind of made a fool of himself. Not bad. I mean, I've done a whole lot worse, brother. Serious. And not being trying to. I mean, hey, You know, you heard you stick your foot in your mouth. Well, I just seem to exchange them at times, you know. Anyway. But even when it comes to those things that will make us look foolish in this world, because they don't understand how much worth I place on Him. And the reason that I don't walk in some of those things is because I put more value on my acceptance here than on my worthiness, my assessment of His worthiness there. Listen, we're a holiness church, right? We believe in external standards, right? Some people won't do external standards, won't line up with external standards because of they have the wrong concept of His worthiness. If they had the right concept and the right understanding of His worthiness, they would be a fool in this world. Just like Brother Patrick was for that $20. They would line up with what he wanted because they put the proper assessment on His worthiness. He didn't care about clucking like a chicken when it was worth $20. when you think about how worthy he is, it may keep you out of a movie house or whatever. I better stop so I don't meddle. But you, external standards will be a moot point when we get to that point of assessing his proper worth. That was a good place for somebody else to say. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to be hard this morning. I'm trying to put forth the reason that folks have a hard time living up in any avenue when I don't witness like I'm supposed to. When God has to push me 4 or 5, 10 times to do something he wants me to do. I'm not assessing the proper worth on him when I refuse to do that. Amen. Now I got quiet. One of the ways that the Lord revealed himself, and I better get moving right along here, in Scripture is through his name. Hence, the reason that you have this extensive handout. Now, if you want to, you can have that all studied up by next week, and we'll go over it. Or you can take it and use it for your study to go along with the study about Christ in every book of the Bible. The other one I handed out that would take a whole year or better to get through. But go over this. God revealed himself to his people in Scripture through his name. And understanding some of the things about him, we can see through studying his name. Now, I kind of got off track there a little earlier, but one of the things about his name even the spelling of it in the Old Testament is just 4 consonants. And the reason was that they only used the 4 consonants is they were afraid of doing something wrong when they dealt with his name. So if it's that important, understanding his name, and we can do despite to his name, and he reveals himself to his name, maybe we should do a study about his names. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to get into that next week, so study that. But God reveals himself by making known or proclaiming his name. And I'm just going to run through a bunch of scriptures here. Exodus 6:3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And it goes through and it goes on. And it talks about how he revealed himself to Moses and to other folks through showing them or telling them his name. Now, worshiping God is to call upon his name. And in Genesis 12:8, we see this. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26 says, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, worshiping God by calling upon his name. Praise God. Psalms 116, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, worshiping God through his name, through calling upon his name. To fear his name, in Deuteronomy 28:58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. To praise his name, 2 Samuel 22:50, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Psalms 86 and verse 9 says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Now, wickedness, think about this. Wickedness, if all the power and the glory and the praise and all those things can be shown to us through studying his name, think about this. Wickedness can be done to his name. Exodus 20 and verse 7, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, vain is not the same thing as using it as a curse word. Vain is not assessing the proper worth. Vain, taking his name in vain. We think it's just using it as a curse word. That's, you're doing the wrong thing, and don't take me wrong here, but when we hold his name in vain, it's we don't assess the proper worth to it. Amen. That's why some folks say, oh, Lord. Oh, my. I hate this one. Geez. You want to get my hackles up. And you know where you hear it? Go out in the foyer once. Okay. Taking his name in vain is not assessing the proper worth to it. Amen. Now, you can profane or blaspheme his name too, and the consequences are pretty much the same, but it is different. And that's when you use, when you blaspheme his name or profane his name, it's when you use it as a curse word. And there's tons that do that. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as a stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Now, that's pretty serious. When you think about all that he has done through his name, he wants to reveal himself to us through his name. Amen. Jesus said in the disciples' prayer, after this manner, therefore, pray thee, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy, sanctified is your name. Now, I want to leave us on this note today. Go this week, think about his name, do some study, do some reading in that handout I gave you about his name. See if there's something where he's revealed himself that will help you in the search situation you find yourself in today, where he has revealed himself through one of his names. His names show us his whole character, and then we can do some other study and find out about his attributes, but that's a whole other ball game, and we'll get into that later. But his name defends his people. Listen to this scripture. Psalm 20 and verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name. I had better put the right value on his name. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. I like that. For his namesake, now think about this, for his namesake, he will not forsake his people. 1 Samuel 12, 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Praise God. And to his people, he reveals himself through his name. Now, if I'm going to get the proper understanding of who he is, I better get the proper understanding of all that his name entails, all that it means, all that he's revealed to me through his word, about his name. Amen. Praise God. Worship the Lord this morning, because as you do that study, you're going to come up with this one thing. He's worthy to be worshipped. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you this morning.